From the Word of God, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah. The name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she'd heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited His people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt kindly with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. The story is told that when Benjamin Franklin was the representative of the United States to Europe, he would sometimes gather a company of fashionable people together and tell them, "I want to read you a story from an Oriental book, a story like you've never heard before. Remarkable piece of Oriental literature." And he would read to them this book, the book of Ruth. When he'd finished, they were all delighted and said, "Wherever did you come across such a gem of literature?" And then he would surprise them by saying, "I just read to you from the Bible." Now, if you've never read the book of Ruth, or if it's been a long time since you've read the book of Ruth, I envy you the surprise that you're in store for this morning. And after service, if you'll take the time to read the four chapters, to read this great little book, you find a story of love, of compassion, of honorable dealings, a story of hope where there seemed to be none. And this book comes between Judges and Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. And if you know your Bible history, you know that there's war and there's killing and there are terrible calamities that take place in those books. But tucked right in between here, right in this little place, is this little book of four chapters of the story of love and compassion and honorable dealings. It's a story of attractiveness and virtue, sacrifice, and trust in God. It's the story of three widows. Elimelech goes from Israel to Moab because there's a famine in the land of Israel, and he's heard there's food over there. He takes Naomi and their two sons. They set up house, and not any sooner do they get the house set up than Elimelech dies. And Naomi is left alone to raise her two sons. Evidently, they were probably in their teenage years when they went, because not too long afterwards, they each take a wife from the land of Moab. One's name is Orpah, the other's name is Ruth. And there's a funny story, it has no relationship at all to my message to you this morning, but the name Orpah is the name that Oprah Winfrey's mother had chosen for her. And she spelled it wrong. Instead of O-R-P-A-H, she reversed the P and the R, and she became Oprah Winfrey instead of Orpah Winfrey. Well, they've been there about 10 years. And the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, both die. And Naomi says, I'm going home. I'm going back to Israel. I've heard there's food. Once again, I hear God has blessed the land and there's food once again. Girls, you go back to your homes, back to your mothers. Back to where you started. And they cry and they say, no, we love you. We're going to stay with you. And she gives that incredible passage that we rehearsed where she said, if I got married tonight and had sons, would you wait till they grew up and were able to marry you? Would you wait on them and not get married in between? No, go home, find love, find a family, and be happy. And once again, there's great tears and falling on each other's necks and hugs, and Orpah goes home. And Ruth makes that incredible statement, I'm going with you. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Where you die, I'll die. And so they head back. She told the girls to go home, not because she doesn't love them, but because she does. And when they get back to the land of Israel, the whole town turns out. Because they've heard Naomi's coming home. Evidently, she was well known before she left. She and Elimelech must have had something there in the community that they were known to everybody, and the word gets around, she's coming home. And they remembered this beautiful young woman who had left some 10 years before. And when she comes back now, the years have played on her, and she's not the woman that she was. And in fact, they call her Naomi. Welcome home, Naomi. And Naomi means pleasantness. And she says, why do you call me pleasantness? Because the hand of the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Call me instead Mara, which means bitterness. I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home empty. But not so empty as she thinks. Because you see, at the time they get back, they're preparing the barley harvest there in Bethlehem. And Naomi has no man in the house to go out and work in the fields. No man in the house to go out and follow the gleaners, because that was the rule, that was the law in those days. If you were harvesting your field, if you were gleaning the field, you didn't try to pick it bare. If something fell, you left it lay. When you got to the corners of the field, you made a curve, and you left the corners full of barley or whatever was growing, so that the poor and the stranger could come and pick that and have something to eat. And so Naomi says, Ruth, will you go out and glean from the fields? And she agrees. And she goes out, and the Bible says she just happened to go to this particular field. Now, I don't want to give it away, but hang on to that thought. She just happened to go to that field. And that field is part of her ancestral family. It's part of the family of Elimelech. So she has a connection there. And Naomi's blessed because Ruth goes out. And Ruth goes and she's gleaning. She's gathering up the leftovers. She's picking up the scraps. She's picking up what's dropped. She gets to the corner where they haven't gleaned. She picks all of that. Boaz comes out. Says, who's that woman gleaning there, following behind you? He walks up, he approaches these men and says, the Lord bless you. They reply, the Lord bless you. What a relationship between a boss and his workers. He inquires about this young woman who's gleaning in the fields, and they say, well, she's been following us. She got out here early this morning. She just walked into the field. She's been following us. And Boaz calls her over and says, a full reward for you. You're under the wings of the Lord. And he tells the men, drop some handfuls on purpose. Let some just spill out, so that she's sure to get a good harvest. And she goes home and she has a bushel full of barley, some 8 gallons. And she carries it home to her mother-in-law. And she says, where you been? Well, I've been over here. And Naomi says, blessed be the Lord who has not left off kindness to the living and to the dead. And so she goes back and gleans there. And then the story takes an unusual turn. Naomi says to Ruth, I want you to wash after working in the field today. I want you to put on your best robe, your best gown, dab on a little perfume, fix up your hair, and when it gets dark, I want you to go over to where Boaz is going to be sleeping on the threshing floor. And go lay down at his feet and go to sleep. She does. And the Bible says at midnight, Boaz wakes up and he's startled because there's a woman sleeping at his feet. And he says, who are you? She says, I am Ruth, your handmaiden. Spread therefore the corner of your mantle over me, for you are my nearest kinsman. Now you see what's going on here. Something's totally foreign to me and to you here in the West. This man Boaz is a kinsman, related to Ruth's late father-in-law. We come to find out that when Elimelech left, he sold part of his land. He sold his land. And according to the law of Moses, there's a right to redeem that land, to bring it back into the family. And not only has Naomi instructed Ruth to ask for the land to be redeemed, Ruth has made a marriage proposal to Boaz. Spread the corner of your mantle over me, for thou art my nearest kinsman. And Boaz, you can see his face break into a smile. The fear of the moment of waking up and finding this woman asleep at his feet is gone. And he says, I will redeem you. But there's one who has a closer connection. You know, it's like first cousin, second cousin. There's one who has a closer connection. And if he won't fulfill the obligation of redemption and marriage, I will. He tells her, stay there till just before daybreak. Leave so no one sees you, so no one can cause a story to spread, so no one can say anything about your honor. And go back home. And this time she takes not one bushel, but she takes six. I don't know, she must have had a wagon or something to pull along behind her, because Boaz has blessed her abundantly with more than she could possibly have dreamed. Ruth got her man. That night, God worked in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. And Boaz says, I'm not going to rest until this obligation has been taken care of today. And so he goes to that closer kinsman. And he says, Elimelech, you remember when he left here, he sold his land, and now Ruth and Naomi are back, Naomi the widow. And will you redeem it? Will you redeem the land? And that means that Naomi's going to have a part once again. And he says, yes, I'll redeem the land. And then Boaz says, well, there's one more thing. There's this widow, daughter, Ruth. And you know the obligation of the law that if a man dies without children, his next of kin is to marry her so that a son and daughter can be born to her, and by that, to her dead husband. He says, I can't do that. I can't do that. I have obligations of my own kin and my own family. I can't do that. You do it. Boaz says, I'm making this part up. Boaz says, that's what I wanted to hear you say all along. Because he's watched this lady for some days. There's an attraction. And now he's ready to fulfill his obligation. And a godly home is established. And a child is born. A son is given. His name is Obed. Obed becomes the father of Jesse. Jesse becomes the father of David. And it is through the lineage of David that Jesus Christ the Lord is born. Well, that's the story of Ruth. Quickly told. Well, it's taken 20 minutes to tell it, but quickly told. Now, two lessons from this story as we wrap this up. The first of these is God works in the life of everyone, whether we are aware of His working or not. God's providence. And I've been convinced for a long time that God's middle name is luck, or providence, or chance, or happenstance. You remember Ruth just happened to go into that field. The King James uses an old word, hap. By hap, she went into that field. Naomi saw the hand of God in sorrow and adversity. Boaz recognizes the hand of God that gave him Ruth for a wife. Ruth puts her trust under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. This whole story would have had a different ending had she gone over here instead of over there. And have you ever wondered in your own life what would have happened if you turned left instead of right? Taken a morning flight instead of an evening flight? Worked for this job instead of that job? Gone here instead of there? God guided her footsteps that morning. I saw the hap of God in my life, the happenstance of God in my life. I did something on the 19th of January, 1968, I'd never done in my life. I went to study for finals with two friends. I was in college, and I went over to the apartment of two friends to study for this particular class that we were in together. Never done that before in my life. And after we'd studied for a while, one of them said, "You know, it'd be nice to go over to the college hangout and have a beer. But we're not 21. Well, I didn't drink beer, didn't care. But they wanted to go, and they said, "Wait, we have a sorority sister who's 21. We'll go over there and use her identity card so we can buy a beer." Okay, let's go. And we went over to the college hangout, and I met a girl by the name of Bonnie Carter. I'd never laid eyes on her before in my life. My glasses were broken. I couldn't see real well anyway, and I leaned over to see what she looked like. I liked what I saw, and I kept leaning. Just happened to go and study that night with two of her friends. Just happened. Look back on your life. Can you see times that just happened? That God was moving in circumstances? And faith recognizes not always are those circumstances pleasant. Not always are they Naomi. Sometimes they're Mara. Sometimes they're bitter. Sometimes there's hard things that come in the circumstances of life. And Robert Louis Stevenson, who's famous for writing, among other things, Treasure Island, wrote to his dad and said, "There's a fine text in the Bible to the effect that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And strange as it may seem to you, everything has been, in one way or another, bringing me a little nearer to what I think you would like me to be. It's a strange world indeed, but there is a manifest God for those who care to look for Him." In those bitter times, recovery is like an orange, an onion, peeling an onion. There's layers, and you've got to peel them. Some of those layers are bitter. Some onions will bring tears to your eyes. Some of them are sweet, but you've got to work through the layers. Some affect more than others. But the God who led the happenstance will continue to lead. And the second great truth that I want to share with you this morning as I close is an illustration of the power of choice and decision. Ruth started to declare her choice back on the other side of the Jordan River. Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't make me leave. Don't make me go back where I was. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and went back. She represents the folks who have some real desire to go on with Christ and His people, but they never bring themselves to the point of breaking with the world. They're like those seeds Jesus talked about, the sower going out and scattering. There were some that sprung up quickly, but they had no root and they withered away. And there were others that sprung up and they were choked out by the weeds, by the cares of life, by the things of life. And then there was that one that fell on good ground and brought forth a plentiful harvest. Ruth stands for those. For those whose decision is final and irrevocable. There's no going back. There's no turning back. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God shall be my God. That's been your decision. Stay the course. The God who has brought you to this point will be with you all the rest of the way.